Today's reading can be found on page 95 of the Church Bibles. 95, Exodus, chapter 35, beginning at verse 30. Then Moses said to the Israelites, "See, the Lord has chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of artistic craftsmanship. And he has given both him and Oholiab, son of Ahishamach, of the tribe of Dan, the ability to teach others. He has filled them with skill to do all kinds of work as craftsmen, designers, embroiderers in blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen, and weavers, all of them master craftsmen and designers. So Bezalel, Oholiab, and every skilled person to whom the Lord has given skill and ability to know how to carry out all the work of constructing the sanctuary are to do the work just as the Lord has commanded." Then Moses summoned Bezalel and Oholiab and every skilled person to whom the Lord had given ability and who was willing to come and do the work. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, this Sunday marks the start of a short series that we have on the topic of work. And when I say work, I don't just mean paid employment. I mean all those things that we do that are not our leisure. And I've put some pictures on the screen of the sort of things that I mean. And if we're honest, I suspect most of us have fairly negative views about the paid employment that we do. There are a lot of people who don't enjoy going off to work for somebody else and getting paid for it. I love the little quote, "Most people give 100% to their job, 12% on Monday, 23% on Tuesday, 40% on Wednesday, 20% on Thursday, and 5% on Friday." Or David Brent, the fictional character in the TV series The Office, "Put the key of despair into the lock of apathy, turn the knob of mediocrity slowly and open the gates of despondency. Welcome to a day in the average office." A lot of people feel like that about their workplace, unfortunately. You may be in the happy position. That's not how you feel, but a lot of people do. And I love John Ortberg's reflection on work in his wonderful book, The Life You've Always Wanted, which is my wife Heather's favourite book of all time. And which I enjoy very much as well. This is John Ortberg. "Imagine Genesis if God approached his work as we so often do. In the beginning, it was 9 o'clock, so God had to go to work. He filled out a requisition to separate light from darkness. He considered making stars to beautify the night and planets to fill the skies, but thought it sounded like too much work. And besides, thought God, that's not my job. So he decided to knock off early and call it a day. And he looked at what he'd done and he said, it'll have to do. On the second day, God separated the waters from the dry land, and he made all the dry land flat, plain, and functional, so that, behold, the whole earth looked like Idaho." For a British context, we could say the whole earth looked like the Fens. "He thought about making mountains and valleys and glaciers and jungles and forests, but he decided it wouldn't be worth the effort. And God looked at what he'd done that day and said, it'll have to do. And God made a pigeon to fly in the air, and a carp to swim in the waters, and a cat to creep upon the dry ground. And God thought about making millions of other species of all sizes and shapes and colours, but he couldn't drum up any enthusiasm for other animals. In fact, he wasn't too crazy about the cat. Besides, it was almost time for the late show. So God looked at all he'd done and said, it'll have to do. And at the end of the week, God was seriously burned out. So he breathed a big sigh of relief and said, "Thank me, it's Friday." Of course, God didn't do anything like that. Genesis looks nothing like that. Instead, it throbs with the refrain, "God said, and it was so, and indeed, it was very good." On the first day, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light, and God saw the light was good. And the first day was a Didar day, and God did a little dance. And the next day, God said to the light, "Do it again." And the light did it again, and God danced once again. And so it's gone on every day down to this one, down to the morning of the day you were born, down to the morning of this day in which you hear these words. God loved work, loved the work of creation. It was fun, it was good. And he looked at what he'd done, he thought, "That's really good. I like that." And God created us in his image to enjoy work too. Genesis chapter 1 verse 15, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it." And what God made was someone who would be a co-creator with him. He gave us creativity in order to share in the joy of work with him. And of course, for some people, gardening, including actually my parents, gardening is recreation. Recreation. My parents used to love going in the garden. My dad did the lawn and looked after the roses, and my mum did all the rest, the herbaceous borders and the fruit and veg, and that was her area. And sometimes they did bits together. For them, gardening was fun. It was recreation. It was sharing in the work that God had given from the beginning to be co-creators. And they looked on it and they said, "It's good." And it gave them great pleasure. Now, of course, we're all different. For other people, it's like, "Oh, look at the lawn. Needs a cut. Oh, I suppose I get a mower. Better get the mower out." It's a chore. It's not fun. It's a drudge. For other people, and we have at least one here this morning, it's paid employment. You go out and you mow the lawn because you've got to mow the lawn because you've got to earn your keep because you've got to pay the bank manager, and that's the way it is. So each of us is different. And for some people, there is great joy in doing that particular task that God gave Adam in the beginning. On my day off, there's nothing I like better than to get out a pile of old and dusty academic books, read them, study them, and write about them. For many of you, that is a drudge and a chore and something you are so grateful you gave up when you left school or college. And you look at me in a new light and think, "That man is slightly weird, if not completely balmy." But that's what recreates me. That's what gives me energy. That's what gives me fun. That's what gives me a buzz. Because God has made us all in his image to be creative. He gave us work as a gift from him. Productivity, creativity. Anything that we do that's activity, that's employment, and I use that in the term of employing our time, using our time to be constructive, that's a gift from God because it's what we're made for. And of course, it doesn't always feel like that. But when it is taken away from us, then we realize, actually, yes, it is a gift. When we're laid on a bed of sickness and we cannot do anything and we're there day after day, particularly if it's week after week or month after month, we get really fed up. We get bored. We get frustrated. And we think, "Oh, I wish I could go out and do something." Now, do you see here, I'm not saying, some people do say, "Oh, I wish I could get back to the office." But it's different for us all, as I've said. We think, "I'd love to do something. I'd love to do something creative, constructive, active, because that's what we're made for. To be co-creators with God, to work, to use our time, to use our talents, to use our gifts in a productive way. That's how God made us. And so when God sees people who are unemployed, it grieves his heart. Because he says, "I made you to work. I gave you work as a gift." And those who are unemployed and looking for work know how frustrating it is day after day to say, "I want work, I need work, but I can't get it." God grieves over that too. the workplace is holy ground. And Elizabeth Achtermeyer, who's a Bible scholar, says this: idleness and uselessness are not paradise. They erode the human soul. God gave us work as a gift. And Exodus 35, which Jill read to us, brings that out so clearly. See, Exodus 35 says, the Lord has chosen Bezalel and filled him with the Spirit of God. Now, those of you who've done Alpha have heard this passage mentioned before. I want to bring it out a bit more fully. What it says is the Spirit of God is not just given for prophecy. The Spirit of God is not just given for leadership. The Spirit of God is not just given for those who have ministries and gifts in church. Why did God fill Bezalel with the Spirit of God? To fill him with skill, ability, and knowledge in all kind of crafts, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood and engage in all kinds of artistic craftsmanship. And he's given both him and Aholi have the ability to teach others. And he's filled them with skill to do all kinds of work as craftsmen, designers, embroiderers in blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and fine linen, and weavers, all of them master craftsmen and designers. God says these are gifts from him. These are the work of the Spirit of God. Design, craftsmanship, productivity, and notice, teaching others to do those things. These are all gifts from God. They are the fruit of the Spirit of God in their lives. So why is it any different for us? It seems to me that Exodus says if you're an engineer, that's a gift from God. If you're a computer programmer, that's a gift from God. If you're an artist, that's a gift from God. If you do cross stitch, that's a gift from God. If you serve others, if you sew, if you knit, if you create, all of these things are gifts from God. They are fruits of the Spirit of God. And he rejoices when you do them, and he wants you to rejoice when you do them. Get fulfillment from them. Anything constructive and creative and productive is part of your Christian life. And most of us don't think like that. We think about it as a hobby or a pastime. Or if it's our job, it's our job. No, God says, these are gifts from me. They're fruit of my Spirit in your life. Your workplace is holy ground. But I'm not stupid. I know that for many of us, it does not feel like that, to be honest. So what's gone wrong? Why is it that when we go out to work, when we end up in the workplace from 9 to 5, or these days 8 to 6 or more, why does it not feel like it's God-given activity, it's a joy to do it in the Spirit of God? Well, the first reason is because we end up with too much work. Particularly in a culture like ours, in a place like ours, people are exploited. They're asked to do many more hours than they should. They're separated from their family for long periods. They're overworked and exhausted. And that's not God's intention, to leave us all burned out. And so God gives us a Sabbath rest and says there's a time for work and there's a time for rest. And Peter Sanderson, yes, is speaking about that in a fortnight's time with the title Work, Rest and Play. Because God wants balance in our lives. And he wants us to work. It's a gift from him. But he wants us to rest. And that's a gift from him too. The Sabbath is his gift. But I'm not going to say more about that because Peter will come and say more about that in a fortnight. The second thing that's gone wrong is that God stays in church. I'm a Christian on Sundays. I worship God on the Sundays. Maybe I remember to pray to him at the start of the day and I pray to him at the end of the day. Maybe I go to home group and think about him during the week. But when I'm at work, I kind of leave God at the door, really. Because it's hard to see where God fits in. I had this problem when I was a research student. I was studying, as many of you know, the Vikings. And so in the morning, I had my quiet time. I prayed for God to be with me during the day. And then I studied the burning of churches, the murdering of clergy and monks, and the stealing of holy books. Not exactly fruitful for the Christian. And at the end of the day, I said, Lord, thank you for today. And I said to a friend, something's gone wrong here, you know, because it's really hard to bring God into that middle bit, especially with the stuff I'm studying. And he said, well, all of that work is work for God. And Glenn is going to speak about that much more in, 3 weeks' time, when he talks about working for God. Now, some of you might not be able to come and hear Peter or come and hear Glenn on those subjects, So remember that all our sermons, if the technology works, are available to listen to on the web or to download them onto your MP3 player so you can catch up on them. Or if you know someone else who you think, oh, they'd really like to have heard that sermon, that's a way they can. But again, I'm not going to speak more about working for God and bringing God into your workplace, because Glenn's going to talk all about that in a few weeks, so I'll leave that to him. That's two reasons why things go wrong, why work doesn't feel like it ought to. And the third reason is what I would call the fall. Now, to me, it doesn't matter whether you take Genesis literally and think there was a literal Garden of Eden, and there was a literal Adam and literal Eve, and that all happened, or whether you think it's just a story. Because the point is, the story conveys a truth. And the truth, it seems to me, is literally true whether Genesis 1 and 2 and 3 are or not. And this is the point. That when human beings exerted their independence and said, we think we know what's best, the relationship with God broke down, the relationship between human beings broke down, between men and women, and also the relationship with creation broke down, the relationship with all that God has given us as the world in which we live and work broke down. And this comes across in Genesis 3. God says, you've listened to your wife eating from the tree about which I commanded you, don't eat from it. Therefore, cursed is the ground because of you. In anguish you shall till it all the days of your life. It will yield you thorns and thistles. And we might add, ground elder and bindweed. By the sweat of your face will you win your bread until you return it to the ground. For out of it you were taken. You are dust, and to dust you shall return. And the truth that is conveyed in Genesis 3 is this. That in all work, there is frustration. In all our creativity, in all our activity, things go wrong. And it's never perfect. And that's true equally, just to sort of a little aside for a moment. If you think about it, that's true of all relationships as well. You might fall in love with the perfect life partner. You are blissfully happy together. But don't tell me you're blissfully happy every single day of your entire married life, because there are always little things that go wrong between every couple, because we are fallen, because there's something wrong at the heart of God's creation. Similarly, in every family, parents and children, children and parents, you might have the most wonderful relationship with your children or with your parents. But there are some days when a little grit gets in the oyster, when everything is not perfect. It's true in every person, because every person is fallen. And there's this little thing, this bias that's gone wrong within our hearts that puts us out of kilter with God, out of kilter with one another, and out of kilter with the world that he's given us. And so all work is tainted, is spoiled by this fallenness, this brokenness. And occasionally we get glimpses of how it was meant to be. Just now and again, you finish a piece of work and you look at it and you think, that's good. An artist finishes a painting, stands back and thinks, that's good. A musician finishes playing a piece of music and thinks, that was good. At work, you finish a piece of work and you think, yeah, we did well on that. A team completes a task together, high fives each other and says, hey guys, we did that really well. An article appears in a learned journal and is sent to me on my birthday. And I look at it, I think, did I write that? That's really rather good. And we just get that glimpse of glory. We just get that moment of knowing how it was meant to be. As a teacher, I trained as a teacher but didn't do much teaching, but I remember the day when a child in my class finally understood multiplication. The penny dropped that when you do 7 8s, you don't have to write 8 down, 8 plus 8 plus 8 plus 8, 7 times, and then add them up. You can actually rely on your tables. And suddenly you saw this little face light up and go, I get it. That's a glimpse of how it was meant to be. A glimpse of the Spirit of God making us teachers. And so we see how it was all meant to be before the fall in God's good creation. So do you see that the workplace is holy ground, that work is a gift from God, that God loves us and gives us activity, creativity, productivity, as something that's good for us to fulfill us and satisfy us, even if there's plenty of times when we don't feel it's like that. Eugene Peterson, a great Bible scholar, Bible translator, pastor, theologian, thinker, says this: work isn't a distraction from God, but a working out of God in the world. The world of work is the primary context for spirituality, for experiencing God, for obeying Jesus, for receiving the Spirit. Lots of us need to hear that because we think, no, Eugene, the church is the place where we have spirituality. The church is the place where we experience God, where we obey Jesus, where we receive the Spirit. No, he says, because most of your life you are working. You are working at the sink, or you're working in the supermarket, you're working on the school playground, or you're working in the office, or you're working in the factory. Wherever you are working, God is there too, and he is at work with you and in you. And so that's the place for spirituality. That's the place where God has given you the gifts that he has, to use them to find fulfillment. Whether it's bringing up your child, or doing the chores to make the house work, or working for an employer who's paying you for it at the end of the week or the month. God wants you to find him in the workplace. Martin Luther, great 16th century thinker and writer, said this: what seem to be secular works are actually the praise of God and represent an obedience which is well-pleasing to him. Even dirty and unpleasant work, such as shoveling manure or washing nappies, is pure and holy work if it comes from a pure heart. I love Luther. He was always so earthed in reality. Sometimes he was a little too crude for modern tastes. But he says, this is my work for God. Changing dirty nappies is work for God. Shoveling manure is work for God if it's done as creative, productive, serving others. And so, can you see how all this is really about a change of mind, a change of attitude, a change of heart? So that through the day, I don't think, oh, I've got all this work to do before I can relax and enjoy life. What it's saying is, how can I see my work today, my chores, my tasks, my activities, as God-given gifts to bless him, to bless others, to fulfill and satisfy me? Now, there are some things where it's going to be hard because of the fall, because of the unrealistic expectations of employers, because we're being exploited or overworked. There will be those things. But if we can shift our mindset and see it as a gift from God and a work for God, then it can make all the difference in the world to you and to me. And that way, God perhaps can give us the satisfaction and the fulfillment in our work that he made us for and wants us to enjoy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you didn't make us to be bored and idle and useless. You made us creative. You made us productive. You made us to sit back and look at something and say, hey, that's good. For those of us who are in employed work, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us in our employment to find something, to find areas where we get that sense of satisfaction, to get that sense of fulfillment, to see our work, our skills as a gift from you, and to enjoy using them, and to find satisfaction and fulfillment that way. For all of us, Lord, but especially for those who are not in paid employment, I pray that in the chores and busyness and activity of each day, you'd help us to find tasks in which we can find fulfillment, because they're productive or creative, or because they serve others. And you'll help us to sit back and say, that's good. That's good. Thank you, Lord. So please help us all to see our work as your work, to see our gifts as your gifts given from you, and to use our gifts in your service for our fulfillment and satisfaction. I ask it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.